Time for this week's Sports Lit 101 as Bruce Pratt joins us. And this time around, most of the books that we talk about, I think we could say that safely, on the segment are nonfiction. But every once in a while, we'll get a stretch of fiction and novels in, and that's the case this week.
Yeah, it's the case this week. It'll be the case next week. And this novel, I think, is, I need to sort of preface its form in a way. It's called The Red Shirt by Corey Sobel, it's his debut. It's from the University of Kentucky Press. University presses don't often do a lot of fiction, so they thought very highly of this book. In graduate school, I was forced to study literary theory. It's not something I spent a lot of time thinking about in my life. If I have to teach it, I do. But one of the schools of literary theory is new historicism. And that is that you look at the book and you want to know as much about the author as you can, where he or she grew up, what you know about their biographical details, what time period was the book written in, and then try and also look at your own prejudices and bias based on where you are in your life, where you're from, and the like. And I think it's important for readers to approach this book without paying attention to any of that. Because unfortunately, one of the things that you get told early on, if you read the book from the blurb and the jacket and everything, is that Corey Sobel went to Duke University. He was a scholarship football player. He was quickly disenchanted. He was not out as a gay person when he arrived. And that could allow a lot of people to think, oh, this is going to be some kind of a bitter book. And it really isn't a bitter book. What it does is it explores two things about big-time college football. One is, I don't care whether it's Harvard, Duke, Northwestern, Alabama, or Clemson, there are certain things endemic in big-time football which are not really laudatory. There's a lot of shenanigans that go on. There's players are used very much like furniture sometimes as being disposable. But it also does something where it creates he creates characters which are so against stereotype that you might think, oh, come on, this isn't going to work. But it does. First, we have the main character, Miles Ferling. He's from Colorado. He skipped a grade in school. He's a little undersized. He says he's known since the eighth grade that he was gay and that he was a football player. His parents have recently lost their jobs at a mine that closed down. They're scrambling to get new work. And his football coach from high school says to him in a very coded way, just play football. Lets him know that he knows what Miles is not willing to tell the world yet about himself. And so Miles goes off to King's College in Blenheim, North Carolina, a traditional doormat in what sounds a lot like the Atlantic Coast Conference. And a very highly regarded school. And he runs into three main characters that become part of the book. One is DeSean McCoy. No one can understand why he's at King's College. He's one of the most outstanding recruits in the country. Incredible running back. Comes from Oregon. His parents ran a successful chain of sporting goods stores. He wanted to go to Brown and he wanted to study literature, but he got a better deal to go to King's College, and we'll let the details of how that deal works come up for people to read the book. But it also turns out that he too must do this. His mother is ill. His father's business was embezzled out of a great deal of money. These two guys get thrown together as roommates. Then there is a fellow named Chase Guerin, who is the person whose job Miles is most likely to be able to take. Even though Miles is a redshirt and he's probably not going to get to play as a freshman. So there's some tension between those two guys. And then there's a situation where Chase, where the guy has this sort of odd relationship with, and he also has a crush on, punches somebody out, and it really changes the way the whole rest of the book unfolds. And I will not spoil this because the plot twists or the plot lines are very intricate. In fact, a couple of critics have complained that they're too intricate. I don't necessarily think so. But like all great football books, this is not about football. I mean, it is about football, and it's about the excesses and the crookedness of D1 football from a guy who was there, knows about it, was a scholarship player. But it's really about how masculinity and phony ideas about it are so embedded in the football culture that it becomes a greater challenge than it would be in the world outside of that culture. You know, I think about Michael Sam from Missouri, who came out as gay, the big lineman. He got a couple of looks at the pros, but, you know, basically said that once people knew who he was and what he was, certain doors were shut. This is really a good book in the sense that it shows how that works. And you'll remember the name, Rich. What's the baseball book? I couldn't stand it. People loved it. Came out a number of years ago. Small Division III school in Wisconsin. It's a catcher who pops a lot of pills.
Yeah. I remember it. We talked about it on the show, but I cannot remember the name of it.
I can't remember the name of it either, which is okay because I didn't like it at all. That book had all these contrivances to make it work. This book doesn't have any contrivances, and it has a couple of the most clever plot line deviations, if you will, in a sports novel that I've read. This is not going to win the Pulitzer Prize, but it's a really good book. And I think that Corey Sobel is probably off to quite a career. He's done a lot of interesting things. He's written a lot of nonfiction for major outlets. He's been an AIDS, HIV researcher in Africa. Obviously a very, very bright guy. And The Red Shirt is a good book. And I tell you, for anybody that thinks they know or thinks you can believe that big time football is remarkably different between Duke and North Carolina and Alabama. Yeah, it's different, but it isn't that different.
Was it The Art of Fielding? Was that it?
That's it. The Art of Fielding. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Which, you know, just had, I don't know, the Dean's daughter show up as a prop and the whole relationship between the Dean and the guy and the team. I mean, I was like about 100 pages in, I thought, and I was reading it for a book club. I thought, please don't make me read this. I read it all. And it got great reviews and it was a bestseller. I just didn't like it. This is a much better book, I think, The Red Shirt. And you don't have to be a football fan, I think, to read this and really get to look at how we look at people and we think we know who and what they are, but we often, very, very often don't. And it's really good that way. I was thinking about some of the players at Maine that you and I have known. People like Micah Wright, who really liked to write poetry. People like Sherrod Baltimore, who loved to write about his life. And you know, people knew them as football players, didn't often know them as people. And this is a way of sort of doing that through fiction.
Excellent. The book is called The Red Shirt by Corey Sobel on Sports Lit 101 this week. Thank you much, Bruce.